in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 728. I am, as always, your host, Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my guest host, co-host, Trace Turner.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me back.
You're quite welcome. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every Wednesday at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
What good you sitting alone?
It is Wednesday, July 12th. 2023, my brother Brent's birthday. Happy birthday, Brent. On the show today, we have the Gaslight Baker Theater and their production of 9 to 5. And later on, we'll be talking to Alex Garza and his solo performance of Hamlet. And of course, we're going to have a lovely discussion of the world of theater in Austin, Texas, New York, Chicago, Memphis, and Berlin. Don't go away.
No use permitting some prophet of doom.
Come to the cabaret, Trace Turner.
I would love to come to the cabaret.
Come to the cabaret. It's a wonderful show.
Yeah, it is a wonderful show.
As always, though, we're going to put a pin in that conversation.
Okay, we'll come back to the cabaret.
Because first I want to, we're going to come back to it. But welcome to the show as co-host.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's so great to be here.
You're wearing a wonderful Keith Harrington shirt.
Yes, love Keith Haring. It felt...
Haring? I changed it to Harrington.
Yeah, you know, just add some syllables. But,
yeah, but I do like herring, especially pickled.
Yeah. Pickled and art poppy.
Yeah. So people that are watching this on video will be able to see that.
Yes, of course. All of our viewers at home.
Exactly. Well, welcome. We're happy to have you here.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about theater.
Yeah, we're going to talk about theater. We're going to talk a little bit about you in a moment.
Okay.
But I want to introduce the other folks that are sitting here in the audience here with us so that we can have a lively conversation all around. Here we go. We have Doug DiGirolamo. Well, now, why am I not hearing you? Oh, because your volume is not up.
Oh, there we go.
Do that again, Doug. I was so close that time.
It's Doug DiGirolamo.
I believe I was closer that time than I've ever been in the past.
Yo, one more time, I think you'll have it.
Yeah, maybe next time. Tysha Calhoun.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Becca Smoots.
Hi.
I suck. And Beth James.
Well, don't worry. My name's easy.
Oh, over there. I'm not even looking at people. So, you are. Beth, you win the easy name thing. That song we were listening to was Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Alan Cummings version that they opened, closed, and opened again. It was a revival that got revived.
Yes, as they continue to do.
As they continue to do. And the reason why I'm playing it is because the cabaret revival, the current cabaret revival that is over off-Broadway. Is it
in the West End?
In the West End. There's another thing that's coming from off-Broadway. Is coming to Broadway in the spring.
Yes.
At the August Wilson Theater.
That is going to be so good. I did not get a chance to see it, but you can watch the Olivier performance from Annie Lennox doing the opening number. And it's just her out there, and it is a stunning, powerful,
amazing,
raw performance.
Well, they have not announced the cast, but it is pretty much agreed that Eddie Redmayne will come over
as
the MC.
Oh, good.
That is a role I want to do.
The MC?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be fabulous.
I think I'd be fun as the MC.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Everybody else?
100%.
Everybody else, I just need to tell you that nodding does not work on the radio. So just know that going in. So it's going to come in spring. I was listening to a podcast about theater, as I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a lefty, tree-hugging, progressive person, all about everything, but somebody in this podcast was angry that they are doing cabaret in the newly named August Wilson Theater, and it should only house black performances.
Interesting.
Which I think I said that's taking it a little bit to the nth degree. I don't necessarily agree with that. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. So it was a cabaret was, I don't know when it originally opened. I don't have it here. It was 60s or 70s.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's Candor and Ebb, so it's got to be.
Candor and Ebb, and that's our lovely Joel Grey, who we love, as the MC. But that was a different MC than is now the current. So that MC was more... less avant-garde, very much less sexual back then. And now the MC is generally a sexual being of some sort.
I think that's a role that sort of changes, you know, as generations go. I mean, I can't wait to see what it'll be in another 10 years. I think it'll be very exciting to see how that role transforms.
Maybe my ghost... in 10 years, it'll be a woman playing the MC.
They have had women play it, I think. Yes.
But no woman named Lisa Sheps.
There's no reason it could not be a woman, or certainly non-binary or anything. That gender really doesn't enter into that role, except that in its. And who was? I think it might have been Alan Cumming that flicked a switch about that.
I think it really is. Yeah.
Yeah, and made it a. I mean, I'm
kind of places.
Yeah, and non-binary, really. Yeah, obviously. So this was directed by Rebecca Frecknell, who will come to Broadway with it. It opened in the West End in 2021. The Alan Cumming revival was 1998. And then it came back, and it closed in 2004. It was also, and then it came back in 2014 with Michelle Williams.
And then Emma Stone after that. Yes. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an argument here, and this is let's just bring this up to everybody, that Sally Bowles is not supposed to be very talented.
Right.
So therefore, having these star turns playing Sally Bowles or like Emma Stone has been vilified amongst musical people for how unmusical she is. But a lot of people say, you know, Sally Bowles is supposed to be a hack.
Yeah, and I do think that's why Emma Stone works. She's not a big Broadway belter, so I think it kind of works for her.
I'm just a Broadway belter. A lot of people don't know if that was the original lyrics to that song. Anyway, Cabaret. I am a fan. So I can already see that we're not going to get to all of our things. So I'm going to just run right to this. We talked about this person last week, and everybody here did not know who he was. If I say Al Hirschfeld to y'all, do y'all know who I'm talking about?
I believe he has a theater named after him, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes.
But why?
He did all those cartoons, didn't he, famously?
Yeah. So Hirschfeld did all the cartoons. I will show you. Actually, I made copies for everybody that's here.
I love examples.
So what we're showing, folks, is a Hirschfeld of Liza Minnelli and what's his name? Oh, here's another one over there.
From New York, New York,
yes,
right? Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, that was a movie, but now it's currently a Broadway show. And he is famous for, so those of us that lived in New York for a long time, we loved when Hirschfeld's cartoons came out, because if you look at his name down in the lower right, it says Hirschfeld, and there's a little number 3. And in that number 3, that tells you how many Ninas are in this drawing. So Nina was his daughter, and he hides her name in all of his drawings. And I think I found all 3, but one of them is a little vague to me. So we'll see if anybody here that has this in their hands do it. The reason why I bring this up is, A, we talked about it. B, he's got a theater named after him. But one of the things that's going on right now, there's a limited edition signed Hirschfeld, which you're seeing a copy of right now, that's being auctioned for Broadway Cares and Equifights AIDS in the Hirschfeld Foundation. There's 20 of these things. And here are some of the names that are doing. Alan Alda, Julie Andrews, Cher, Michael Crawford, Clive Davis, Robert De Niro, and Liza Minnelli, which you guys are looking at. Judy Dench, Richard Gere, Mark Hamill, Billy Joel, John Malkovich, Steve Martin, Ian McKellen, Reba McEntire, Cheetah Rivera, Linda Ronstadt, Martin Short, Meryl Streep, Christopher Walken and John Williams for a bonus point. What Broadway show did Linda Ronstadt do?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, Linda.
I'm stumped.
I'll give you a hint. It started out at the park in New York.
Out at the park.
It was the Pirates of Penzance. With Kevin
Kline. My
brain
goes, that's an operetta, not a musical.
It is an operetta. Well,
yeah, you're so right.
But I did not say musical. I said Broadway.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Thank you. there are things I didn't know. He had it in major publications over 9 decades. We saw it in the New York Times, Sardi's Wall, and in the New Yorker or New York Magazine. I can't remember which one. But I didn't realize he was over 9 decades. He had 15 different postage stamps of Hirschfeld drawings.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. He died in 2003 at age 99. So his theater, the Al Hirschfeld Theater, can anybody more bonus points for everybody? What's playing in there right now? It's kind of a jukeboxy musical.
Oh, is it like Once Upon a One More Time?
No,
or one
please.
Of those?
Oh,
no, it's not that jukeboxy.
Yeah, the Britney Spears musical.
It's Moulin Rouge.
Oh, great! Rouge. Oh, that's perfect. It looks like Sardi's in Moulin Rouge.
It does. I do love that. So the other thing I want to talk about now that I was going to talk about last week and I didn't get to is, have y'all heard of the show The Cottage, which is currently in previews?
I have not.
No. It's a farcical comedy. It looks like they call it a throwback play with a modern mindset. There was an article written by Laura Collins Hughes, which interviewed some of the performers in it. But this is a farce written by Sandy Rustin. And this is The Cottage is a feminist twist on witty British comedies in the Noel Coward mode.
Coward. That sounds good. I love
right
Noel Coward.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Rustin wrote the show Clue that was adapted from the movie.
Oh, great.
So this show started on July 7th. And the reason why I want to talk about it, A, is because we keep talking, we layer things around here on Offstage and on the Air. And Jason Alexander is directing it, who I'm going to try to get on this show because I have a little bit of a relationship with him. So look forward to something with Jason. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about she interviewed all the players, and this is just like little quotes about different things that some of the performers doing. So Laura Bell Bundy, who plays in it, the heading of this is, it's all about precision, darling. Laura Bell Bundy said, I'm in like 140 of 147 pages of the script.
Oh my gosh.
And let me tell you, these words, they are not normal to my vernacular. Remembering where all the rawthos and darlings go, I swear, has been the most difficult thing. If you don't get the exact wording, it's like, that's not the style. And also, you have to speak so quickly because that's the rhythm, which is of that era.
Mm-hmm.
They did talk... talk like that.
Yeah, the high language.
So the under the heading of the play is like a musical or whack-a-mole, Jason Alexander said, I call it the sort of non-musical musical. With a musical number, everybody in it, even if they're widely separated from each other, they all understand the tempo, the intonation, and the mood of the piece, as well as the movement of the piece. This play and this cast require that in a very similar way, but there's nobody keeping the drum beat, and there's nobody playing a melody, so they have to feel it internally with each other. And I love that idea. We were just talking before.
About Noises Off.
About Noises
Off.
The same kind of thing. It's all about ensemble and timing.
Yeah, and it's quick timing, too. Yeah. Like, doors opening, closing, people in, out, left, right, up, down. Like, it doesn't stop.
And I never really thought about the musicality of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference of a musical is that there's nobody keeping time. There's no drummer, there's no conductor, there's nobody singing a melody. I find that a really great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think Eric McCormick is in this. Hold on, I want to make sure I'm not lying. There is somebody named McCormick, and I thought it was Eric McCormick. It is Eric McCormick of Does everybody know where
Will
he's
and Grace, yeah.
Nodding doesn't count, everybody.
He's a fabulous actor.
And thank you. I couldn't remember the words Will and Grace. So this the heading of this is Pies. No, Stairs. Yes?
Is that one of Laura Bell Bunny's lines?
Yeah, it just dawned on me that the way I read it is not the way it's written. It's actually Pies, no, Stairs, yes.
Okay,
I like the way
now.
I did it.
I can rationalize that.
Agreed.
That's just
artistic
interpretation.
Exactly. Eric McCormick said, besides just being 100 years old and not really wanting to fall downstairs anymore, I'll leave that to Alex, what's hard about physical comedy mostly is doing something that feels in the moment. We've all seen Pies in the Face and all that stuff, but finding an original moment, particularly in a moment of high angst or high anxiety, is just a great reward.
Well, that sounds very
so that's the cottage. It sounds like something I want to see. It's going to be opening. I just closed that file. It's going to be opening soon. So I want to go back to Al Herschel. Did anybody find any Ninas?
Yeah, we found a couple.
Where'd you find them? Where? You have to describe it because it's radio.
So on her left arm, on Lisa's left arm.
Where on her arm?
On the left arm, you go up like over by like the shoulder.
Uh-huh. You see it by the shoulder.
Yes.
Okay, good. Where's the other one?
Actually, if you travel down that arm, another.
That's
Nina.
Two.
Yeah, there it is.
Did you find the third?
I want to say like it's over by like the saxophone.
No, right, it's actually on Liza, and now I can't see it again. I found it earlier today. I believe it's in her bangs.
In her bangs. Whoa.
Anyway, but that was always when these things came out, we always looked for the Ninas. And sometimes there are like seven or eight of
it's
them.
It's right there on the edge of her
there
bangs.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just
oh,
small.
I do see the bang one.
It's like she's looking right at it.
This is the hardest game of Where's Waldo I've ever played.
Yeah, there you go. That is amazing. I don't have time to talk about it, but Transparent, the musical, is...
Transferring
from well, it had an interesting history. It opened the Mark Taper Forum, and it did a little bit at the Algonquin Playhouse. It was originally supposed to go from the Taper to Broadway, but it didn't. So now it's gonna come again, and I think Transparent was I know it from the TV show.
Right.
I believe there's also a book. Is there a book?
I don't know.
But this was, it got sort of sullied by Jeffrey Tambor in the end, who was Me Too'd. But the show itself was so important. I mean, it was very reminiscent of my own life. It's about a white upper middle class person that transitions. And Alexandra Billings was in it. And I think that was the first time that Alexandra Billings got national recognition. Mm-hmm. I knew her when I lived in Chicago because she was a Chicago performer and we were all part of the trans community. And so, but I'm thrilled for Alexandra Billings, who is just doing so good all around. But I'm sort of looking forward to this Transparent. I don't know anything about it. I haven't heard any of the music.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but just rumors about it happening. I think they might be trying to keep some things close to the chest.
Yeah, well, they should be telling us at least.
Yeah, please.
At least tell us who's doing the music. So we get
do we know? And you know what I just did? I just closed the thing.
Oh, no.
No, just get, you know, we're going to get it. It's
too late.
I've got a computer and it just opens right back up.
All right.
But thank you. I should look at that. The listeners of this show know that I used to do everything in paper. And now I'm trying to be better and I use this computer and it's not as good. So let's see. Cast members. It must be in here, but I don't see it. Anyway, look it up. Google it, everybody.
I do think they are partners, the music and lyrics. They share a last name, although I don't know their names at this time.
That's trivia for the next show.
Yes, well, exactly.
Exactly. And you know what? I am sure that it's in here in this article, and I'm just not seeing it. But we need to run forward. I want to talk about two other things. Quickly, The Tempest... at the Delcourt.
Yes, with Renee Elise Goldsberry playing
as Prospero.
Oh, that's going to be so exciting.
Yes. Has anybody ever been out to the Delcourt Theater?
I have. I've seen, what did we see? We saw Othello there, and we saw Taming of the Shrew there.
Excellent.
And the Taming of the Shrew with the all-female cast
that
happened.
Yeah, I remember that.
In 2016.
I saw some raccoons there when I went after hours.
I saw some raccoons there during the production that the tech crew had to chase off.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
But luckily, that was during Taming of the Shrew and not Othello.
So this version of The Tempest, which is, the people listen to this show know that I finally admitted to myself and others that I'm not the biggest fan of Shakespeare. but Tempest is one I like. So this one is going to be done with music, and it's going to feature songs by Benjamin Velez. It's going to run at the Del Court from August 27th to September 3rd, directed by Lori Woolery and choreographed by Tiffany Rhea Fisher. And this is going to be the last show at the Del Court for, I think, 2 years. They're doing a major renovation.
Oh, wow.
And at Del Court, there's such a... And we've talked about it on this show. So if you live in New York, the Del Court and going to see a show in the park is just you make a day of it. You do a picnic starting around noon and start lining up with a picnic. Just an amazing experience. Last thing I want to talk about is the moving, and this is the off-Broadway one that I was going to talk about, of Merrily We Roll Along to Broadway.
Yes.
And this is the... one directed by Maria Friedman. It's going to begin previews on September 19th at the Hudson. They have not announced the opening night, and this is the show that we've talked about that had and will continue to have Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, and Lindsay Mendez in the starring
roles. My three
roles.
Faves.
I know. So I'm really looking forward to that. And this was a transfer from the New York Theater Workshop off Broadway, not the West End. So that's... that's that. I'm looking forward to all of that. And of course, we've run over time, as we always do, but only by 2 minutes.
That's great.
No, that's much better than I normally do. So let's just talk for five more minutes. Be really bad. But keeping the circle rolling is Merrily We Roll Along, and the original, which opened in 1981, starred someone named Jason Alexander. So there you go. So let's listen to Jason and his cohorts singing It's a Hit from Merrily We Roll Along, and we'll be right back with the Gaslight Baker Theater.
It's a hit, it's a hit, you're a hit.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Trace and everybody else that's here. Sorry, I have to turn up the volume in my ear. Otherwise, I think I'm not actually doing anything. So let's reintroduce our friends at Gaslight Baker Theater and their production of 9 to 5. We have the director, Beth James.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? I keep thinking I'm looking in the wrong place because I thought you should. Anyway, never mind. We have Taisha Calhoun playing Violet.
Hello.
Becca Smoots playing Judy.
Hello.
And Doug Gerogelamo.
That was so close.
So yeah, close, playing Hart.
Yeah, I'm playing Franklin Hart.
All right, 9 to 5. I think a lot of our audience is probably familiar with at least the storyline of it. Somebody give us the rundown of the show, 9 to 5.
So the show is about three women who have essentially had it with their workplace, and they end up becoming friends throughout the show and kidnapping their boss and, you know, figuring out how to run the office the way it should be run, as women usually do it.
So great. And this is, it's a musical.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's good. I've actually only seen a high school production of this show. So
yeah, I've only seen a community production of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it come through Austin? Did a tour of it come through here?
It sounds like it could
have. I don't know. Maybe I did see it.
If it did, it would have been like 2004, 2005.
Yeah, I was here then. Yeah. Anyway, so it's a fun musical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah. We have a blast doing it.
Yeah. Well, so Doug, do you play the boss in question?
Yes, I do. I play that maniacal, sexist, egotistical, lying boss.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocritical and bigot also, if you didn't include that.
Well, it's funny. We were just talking to someone, I think, last week about playing the villain. And I think it's fun to play the villain.
Oh, it's so fun.
Oh, for sure. I absolutely love Playing Heart to a degree. I don't go fully into it, but I love being the villain. It's just something new. It's you know, he's a character who doesn't change, and he has to find different types of motivation to get what he wants. And
sure.
He uses some very, very bad tactics to get what he wants.
And as an actor, you have to justify all that and find the space to do it and give it life and be real.
Exactly. And I also have to be funny while I'm doing it. I can't just be that hated guy. I got to make you laugh too. So it's a balance on a very thin line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have that problem myself, but I'm funny looking, so it's okay. Beth, tell us about your take on the show. How did you approach the script? What's the show going to be like for us?
So my take on the show was trying to find a balance of what the musical is, what the movie is, how we put those together, how we create a character that is Dolly Parton, because it was played by Dolly Parton, the music is written by Dolly Parton, but still being Dora Lee and their own character, and finding this powerful moment for women, because I think the reason that I chose this show was because it's still relevant, like crazy relevant. Sure. As someone who's, you know, managed restaurants and businesses and all kinds of things for a long time, I can tell you, even if I get to the top position at wherever I'm working, I have to work 10 times harder than my male counterpart to get anything done. But also, I'm a comedy director, so this worked really well to give a good message and actually bring some comedy and bring some beautiful voices that are crazy good.
Great. And is there a live orchestra?
There is not, no.
So we're playing to track.
Yes.
I find I've never done it. So but I think it brings in a lot of challenges. I know when I go and I watch shows, especially complex shows that are done, yes, to track, it's like I really want to congratulate the sound person or the stage manager or whoever's actually responsible for getting those cues and those clicks going just at the right time.
Yeah, I left the tech booth at our tech rehearsal last night for about 5 minutes and things came a little crashing. I was like, I live in here now. I'm going to tell y'all exactly when everything plays.
Yep.
Because it is difficult, and the way that the music is set up and the way MTI has music set up is really...
Music Theater International.
Yes. It's really difficult because they're trying to keep their copyright, but we've got to get it into our system, and there's things like voiceovers in this show, and so everything is in a huge rhythm. There's underlying of almost every scene has some sort of musical underlying in it too, so it is,
yeah, it's those interstitials. I did a Sound of Music, we had tracks for it, and it was like just about finding the rhythm of the lines to get to the song. Sure. So that we didn't get behind or ahead of the track,
right.
And the actors have to, that's when it becomes important that they say the line the cue lines.
Yes.
Yeah, gotta say it right every time, or the guy in the booth doesn't know.
Yeah.
And make sure your other actors are right there to back you up, but also making sure you're there on the beat with all of the stuff that's going on underneath you.
Sure, there's no conductor to slow down or speed up if you decide to change tempo.
The good news is we're all digital now, so you don't have that thing where the tape stretches and it slows down and it's crazy, and that makes for a really good comedy. Becca, you're playing Judy.
I am. I'm also a co-musical director.
You're burying the lead. Co-musical director. Musical director is not an easy job. I don't need to tell you.
Not at all.
It's really not. And I mean, we were lucky to have a bunch of great people come out from all over the community. I mean, people as far as San Antonio, North Austin, Seguin. And so we've just been really lucky that we have such a passionate group of people who really want to put on the best show they possibly can.
Who is your cohort? Who is your...
My husband, Derek.
Okay, wonderful.
Oh, lovely.
Derek Smoot?
Derek Smoot.
Smoots.
And he's playing Joe in the show.
So. Oh, good. Amazing. Wonderful. So tell us about your character, Judy.
Judy is that woman who has just recently been dumped and has to figure out what next. Yeah, and so she goes into the workforce and finds friendship and a new family. And it's really kind of like heartwarming.
Oh, that's great. When you say heartwarming, you're not talking about the character Heart.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Definitely not.
I just wanted to make sure. Taisha, you're playing Violet.
Yes, I am.
It's a kind of a purple character.
kind of a purple character. Yeah, she her story is that she was married and she lost her husband. He died. She has a son, and so she has been in the workforce and working for this company, not necessarily Hart, for 15 years. Mm. Hart comes in and steps all over her back to get to the very top of the company and become president. Usually it's because Violet has done something to assist him. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to navigate her own feelings of wanting to get ahead, being a feminist, wanting to empower other people. But she also knows she has to walk a very fine line, because when you're dealing with a boss who is not necessarily scrupulous, you have to make sure that you are still in line with what his expectations are versus what you want to do in an organization as far as move up and be recognized.
So forgive me for not knowing the characters. Are Violet and Judy the main characters, and who played those in the movie?
So Judy was, Jane Fonda.
Okay.
And Violet was played by Lily Tomlin, who was one of my personal heroes.
None of those are hard shoes to fill.
No.
So simple.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that's amazing. So how did y'all, and I ask this a lot when we're doing shows that are really attached to some people. How was it? It's got to be kind of difficult to not mimic those people or something. How'd you approach the roles in order to make sure you made it your own?
Well, I mean, for Judy, she, in the movie, she already has this sense of who she is, except her sense starts as, I was a wife and now I'm becoming this new thing. Whereas in the musical, Judy doesn't know who she is without a man to tell her who she is.
Right.
And so it's not only just finding herself, but also just finding that she can do things without a man.
And the character of Violet, I think Lily Tomlin was very funny in the movie and played her very well. There was a lightness about Lily Tomlin's character, though, that I'm not sure translates to current time.
Okay.
Mm. And so for me personally, I know that bringing in that feminist aspect to it and being strong as opposed to funny, there are very funny moments, don't get me wrong, but being a much stronger character than what was presented in the movie was something I was working towards.
Great, wonderful. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. So when do you open?
Oh, that's this Friday.
This Friday?
Yeah, so
that's
close.
The 14th.
The 14th.
Everybody knows that's Mark Baltazar's birthday.
It's on my calendar.
We all knew that.
It is my calendar.
Of course.
So that's great. So as Beth mentioned, you were already in tech. So how's it all going? Are y'all excited? Are you ready?
Yeah, so far so good. We had a really long Sunday night, you know, getting getting lighting cues put in and standing around on stage. But honestly, we're ready. Okay. We're ready.
The company is so fun, and we have had such a wonderful time with each other putting this show together that even those of us who run theater that know what tech can be like, even tech was actually a really good time.
It's been a
pleasure. Thanks to Beth for doing that.
We have 19.
19, wow. That's big. That's a lot of people.
19 and not a lot of room backstage.
No, I wouldn't.
So we're all getting to know each other very well.
The Gaslight doesn't actually have a backstage pretty much at all, so we had to create one for this show because there are 19 different settings
in the show. Okay.
Yeah, we built three different wings to move everything in and out and not to count people.
Well, that's amazing. So this is, the Gaslight Baker is in Lockhart, Texas.
Yep. It is. The Gaslight Baker is the collaboration between two theaters, the Gaslight and the Baker.
Right.
We merged in 2007 to become one. The Baker has been around for a long time. That building is actually 103 years old this year. And it has always operated as a theater. So it's kind of cool to see all the history, and we still have some of the old.
Was the Baker, so the where the theater is now, I thought was the Gaslight.
So the where the theater is now is actually the Baker.
Thought it was the Gaslight.
Was two blocks down the street, right across from a restaurant, and that's where some of the more avant-garde productions were put on.
Well, so it's in the square?
It's in the close. Square. Well,
yeah. Close
that's
to the square.
About a block off
right
the
on,
square.
Right on Main Street.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we are out of town, but I live in Austin. What's going to drive me? Why do I want to go see it? Tell me why I want to go see it. And do I want to bring the kids?
You probably don't want to bring the kids unless they're over the age of 13.
Okay.
There is a lot of inappropriate things that happen. I would say it's PG-13 for sure. But it's really funny. It's got a good message, and the singing and dancing are amazing. I think some of this dancing is the best I've seen in community theater.
Definitely. I think the cast is probably the number one reason you want to come down and see it. It's the amount of talent that we have on this stage is just crazy for a community theater.
Well, wonderful. And Lockhart has gone through a lot of changes, and it would be, you know, it could be a good idea to get down there early, have a nice dinner at one of the new restaurants on the square, and come and see the show. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You can get more information at mygbt.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's such
thank
a pleasure.
And I will I'll do this on my outro. I got one more time to screw up your name, Doug, and I'm sure I will. I'm going to start with you. That was Doug DiGirolamo.
DiGirolamo.
God,
so
dog
close.
Anyway, Becca Smoots, Taisha Calhoun, and Beth James of Gaslight Baker Theaters, 9 to 5, playing this Friday, the 14th through August 6th. At the Gaslight Baker Theater. For more information, mygbt.org. And we're going to go out listening to our own Becca Smoots here singing Get Out and Stay. So thanks again for being on the show.
I used to need you, but then I finally learned. I used to want you, but now the tables turned. I used to love you, now it's your time to squirm. 'Cause I'm saying goodbye, and I won't wait for your return. So get out and stay.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Trace. Trace, are you enjoying yourself being here on the show?
I'm having a great time.
Oh, I love having you here. We have a vibe, you and me.
I know. We jive. Yeah.
We're actually going to be working together really soon.
We are so soon. Sooner than we think.
Yeah. What's the name of that show?
We're doing Jack and Aiden, a brand new queer musical.
Awesome. By Lane Michael Stanley and music by Tova Katz. Mm-hmm. And we're in the process of auditioning for it's a two-hander.
Yeah, just two characters, Jack and Aiden, funny enough. Yeah. Jack is an older gay man, and by older I mean 30s to 40s. And Aiden is a trans man in his late 20s or early 30s. So if you or anyone you know matches that description, please. Yeah.
You can get information at groundfloortheater.org/auditions.
Yes.
And you get all the stuff, but those auditions take place this Sunday evening. So give it some thought. You know, joining us in the studio is Alex Garza. Hi, Alex. Welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you. So let's just talk about stuff that's going on. Just speaking of Ground Floor Theater, right now for the past few days, they've been loading in this show called Love Bomb. And it looks like so much fun. It's like people have been describing it as burlesque, but it's not really burlesque. It's not very strippy, but it is a lot of circus arts and dancing and things like that. And
some glitter, maybe.
Glitter is not allowed in my theater.
Oh, that's a good. Call.
No, glitter and popcorn. Neither of those things are allowed. but it's called Love Bomb, and they've really transformed the theater. You can get information at groundfloortheater.com/box. Or search for Spectacular ATX or Ground Floor Theater and our upcoming events, and you'll click on that and get some information about that. It's pretty interesting.
How many nights is that playing, Lisa?
It's three nights, two shows a night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
All right.
Yeah. I will not be there. I'm rehearsing another show, mm-hmm. and even if I wasn't, I don't stay up that late. it seems to be a Ground Floor Theater week. Summer Stock Austin is doing a sneak peek of their shows at Ground Floor Theater on Monday. And you can also get information by going to groundfloortheater.com/box or Googling Summer Stock Austin. I think it's summerstockaustin.org.
Do you know what they're doing off the top of your head?
Ginger told me, but I cannot remember.
That's fine. We can all look it up later.
Yeah. So, but it's always good. And it happens, I think, in a few weeks.
Yeah. No, it's usually about midsummer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's always good. And then we have just in this weekend, I think, Heroes of the Fourth Turning.
Yeah.
Which we talked about last week. And last week when we talked about it, we did not know that the director would be my co-host today. So yes. Tell folks about the show.
Yeah. So I am directing the reading of Heroes of the Fourth Turning by Will Arbery at Alchemy Theater this Saturday evening. It's a very interesting show. It was a Pulitzer nominee back in 2020. It premiered at Playwrights Horizon in New York, and it's a backyard conversation between four old classmates at a Christian conservative college out in Wyoming just a few days before the solar eclipse and 2 weeks after the Charlottesville riot. So the play is a big discussion about where conservatives fit in Trump's America.
Which was interesting when it came out, we talked about it on the show and we talked a little bit about it last week. It was an interesting place for a conservative voice that you don't necessarily get to hear in a way that is palatable to those of us who are on the more progressive side.
Yeah, and I will say the playwright is on the progressive side. He grew up just outside of Dallas and also split time in Wyoming. So he really has a very unique perspective that he is bringing, but his way of writing is so lively and poetic, and it gleams on another side of things that I feel like most of us don't think about or hear from.
Yeah, we had a, oh God, who did the show? They're going to kill me for not remembering, but we did Will Aubrey's...
Oh, Plano.
Plano.
Yeah.
Paper I was going to say Dallas, and I go, yeah. Oh, no, it's not Dallas, but it's near Dallas.
Paper Chairs Paper with Chairs, Elizabeth
yeah.
Doss.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that show.
Oh, good. One of the most amazing sets. I just loved that set.
It's a beautiful
yeah.
piece.
Yeah, so we love it. I understand that there are not tickets available.
Yes, we just sold out, I think, yesterday, but there is a wait list that you can get on at alchemytheater.org.
Wonderful. And that is on Saturday the 15th.
Saturday the 15th, 8 p.m.
Also coming up, this is an interesting time right now. We have nothing that... Everything closed last weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, everything closed that weekend. So there's nothing I can say is ongoing because we're now starting up a new weekend, which is interesting. But coming in is Lizzie the Musical, Dr. Mista. They're playing over at Austin Playhouse from mm-hmm. this Friday the 14th through the 30th. And they will be coming on this show... next week or the week after, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then AISD, Austin Independent School District, is doing their summer theater series this weekend at the PAC. And I don't, oh boy, I thought I wrote down what they were actually performing, but it's not here. But you can check it out. You can get all this information at ATXtheater.org.
There it is.
Oh my Lord, it's rough being me. So, also Cold Frame Collective is doing Romeo and Juliet, also opening this Friday, plays the 22nd at Trinity Street Playhouse. Mm-hmm. And then the Stage Austin is doing The Real Inspector Hound at the Dougherty. It's opening tomorrow, the 13th, and plays the 29th. So that's, I don't know a lot about The Real Inspector Hound. I remember the either. Fake Inspector Hound.
I remember the Hound of Baskerville.
I remember being hounded for something. All right, we're going to do it quickly today in theater history. So we have a whole bunch of birthdays, and I'm going to start with them. Oscar Hammerstein II was born on this
date
in 1895.
Happy birthday, Oscar.
Happy birthday. Rachel Brosnahan.
Oh.
Who is not Jewish.
Funny enough.
Just saying that. We've been talking about representation. And she is playing, or she's currently, did Cindy Brewstein's window close?
I think it might have just closed or it's about to.
Anyway, she's playing that, but she was also famously in Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
And there was some heat that she wasn't Jewish. But I can't think of anybody else I'd want to see in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Also born, and let's see if you guys know who this person is. I don't know. Ieko Ishioka.
I don't know this person.
I don't know that person either. Cheyenne Jackson.
Cheyenne Jackson.
Yeah, nice picture of Cheyenne as well.
Mm-hmm. Tall drink of water.
Yeah. Milton Berle, 1908. Mm-hmm. And then opening is Major Barbara, revival, was for Roundabout in 2001.
Hmm.
Motown the Musical opened in 2016.
Oh, good.
And something we talked about a lot on this show is Fela, which opened in 2012. And I didn't get to see Fela, but we played a lot of the music from it.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Him. Oh. And he was, and I'm trying to remember his full name, but the show was about him and featured his music. So we will go out listening to Fela sing a Zombie, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk to Alex Garza about Hamlet.
Zombie, don't go.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Trace. And I had to say that twice because I thought I turned the microphone on, but I hadn't. So
we're all human.
Just know that in that little bit of silence, there was me talking.
Yes, there was.
Alex Garza, welcome back to Offstage and On the Air.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Alex, you do so many wonderful solo shows, and you're back doing your solo version of Hamlet.
Yes, I'm excited. I did a stage reading earlier in 2022, and I've kind of developed a little bit more, and I'm excited to kind of present it on stage again.
I'm unfamiliar with the story. What's it about?
Okay, well... if I can recall correctly, well, it's a Shakespeare play, you know, over 500 years old, one of his tragedies, and it's basically kind of told from the point of view of Hamlet, who is kind of in going through a difficult time. You know, he's just lost his dad, his mom has just married his uncle, and he's trying to figure out his life and how to deal with the whole situation. And in my interpretation, kind of took a little bit of liberties with the story and his kind of point of view. You know, he's dealing with the relationship with Ophelia, his girlfriend, but also kind of dealing with the feelings he's had in terms of relationships with other men, and also kind of dealing with the prospect of being a father. And that's something that's present in my interpretation of the story as well.
So I'm just curious, when you look at these texts, and you've done a couple. You did a Macduff. You've done Hamlet. How do you approach? Where do you start when you decide you want to adapt this for a solo performance for yourself?
Well, I kind of let the story kind of speak to me when I did a kind of a my interpretation of the character of Macduff, and I wrote a solo play based on that character. It was just, I was very kind of moved by the character and their struggle, their conflicts, and thinking from my mind, what is the true conflict that they're going through and how can I connect to that? With Hamlet, I really thought about, you know, since I performed it last year kind of as a stage reading, I thought about what am I really trying to say with the play? I love Shakespeare, but I want to have something to say that's kind of maybe different than other, you know, other people's interpretations of the story on stage. And it was really about, I think the way I connected with Hamlet is just kind of that internal struggle, the dealing with kind of loss, identity, and his future in terms of being not only a son, but potentially a father, dealing with relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really has kind of contemporary ties, particularly, you know, I could identify in my life with just kind of, you know, his struggle with kind of coming to terms with his relationship and his attraction to men, even though he has a girlfriend, and also dealing with the responsibilities of maybe being a father and how that all plays in with his choices in life.
Yeah. So. Amazing. Yeah. Well, you've got a little... I'm sorry. Did you want to say something? Or
I was just
going
to say, I also love Hamlet a lot, and particularly the character of Horatio. And I think for some of your similar things that you're saying of Hamlet's relationship with men, to me, my interpretation lends itself so much of I think there was a former relationship between Horatio and Hamlet just in the way that they take care of each other.
Exactly. I think so, too. So.
Yeah.
And they share a skull.
They do share a skull. They know him well.
I know him, Horatio.
And that character dealing with the skull kind of plays a little bit into his struggle as well.
Are you going to have a skull on the show?
Not physically.
Okay.
Well, it'll be represented.
That's what I wanted to know. But you're going to do a little piece, aren't you?
Yes, just
so
a little snippet.
Why don't you set us up, and what are you going to do?
Okay, this is at the point of the show, and you know, I've taken again some liberties, used a lot of Shakespeare script, but also kind of did some of my own writing and kind of fused them together. So
I'm sure you'll hear from his lawyer.
Oh man, I know. I'm preparing myself for that. But this is the point of the play where he's gone through a soliloquy, just telling about kind of reviewing what has happened so far in terms of his father passing away, the funeral, his mother marrying his uncle, and how he's dealing with that, and kind of his anger, his sadness, his confusion. And this is the point, speaking of Horatio, where Horatio comes in.
Oh, great. Okay, so this is Alex Garza doing a scene from his solo piece, Hamlet.
Hail to your lordship. Horatio, I am glad to see you well, but Or do I forget myself? The same, my lord, and your poor servant ever. I am glad to see you well, but what in faith brings you from Wittenberg? My lord, I came to see your father's funeral. Do not mock me, fellow student. I think it was to see my mother's wedding. My lord, it followed hard upon. Thrift, thrift, Horatio. The funeral baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables. Horatio, my father. Methinks I see my father. Where, my lord? In my mind's eye, Horatio. My lord, I think I saw him yesternight. Saw? Who? My lord, the king your father, his apparition appeared to me. The king, my father? Did you not speak to it? My lord, I did. By my life, my lord, 'tis true. Seizing your admiration for a while with an attentive till I may deliver this marvel to you. For God's love, let me hear. The ghost of my dead father. I don't think I can handle this. Horatio is known for making up tales, but would he tease me with such jest? And if this story is not in jest, and my father has returned as an apparition, or if he has resurrected to reclaim his rightful throne, what joy that would be for me! What a blessed gift that would be for the kingdom! What chaos it would cause between my father and his brother! Uncle Claudius would be so upset! One thing at a time. I must first see how this story develops. If Horatio is lying, I'll forgive him. Oh, for my love for him is deep. If only he knew how deep.
To be wonderful. Continued. Thank you so wonderful. Much. That was amazing. When are you going to be performing this?
I'll be performing this at the Ground Floor Theater on Saturday, July 22nd, 7:30 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, and where do folks get information?
They can go to groundfloortheater.org/box.
We'll get to the box office. That'll click you to the ticket site, which will tell you all about it.
Yeah.
But you're not only doing this live, you're going to be streaming this, are you not?
Yes, I'm excited about that as well. So if you're not in the Austin area and can't attend live, there are opportunities to watch it from afar virtually, whether you're out of town or out of state. So.
Wonderful. Well, now you know that if you're going to go see the Hamlet, the full thing, it's 3 to 4 hours long. Mm-hmm. How long is your piece?
Oh, that's something I wanted to mention. this is a really kind of Reader's Digest condensed version.
Sure.
So... It'll be about 30 to 40 minutes, plus as a kind of an opening, I do always try to do a little opening act for myself, which I'll be performing. I'm doing a short version, maybe 5 to 10 minutes of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which I adapted a couple of years ago, but never had the opportunity as we moved into the pandemic with COVID. I wasn't able to do that performance, but I want to kind of preview a little bit of that for the audience, so that'll be kind of an added bonus.
Well, wonderful.
An
well,
evening
Alex,
of Shakespeare.
Thanks so much for being on the show again.
Thank you,
I appreciate
Alex.
It.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Wonderful. That was Alex Garza in his production of solo show of Hamlet, which happens on the 22nd of July at 7:30 at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you may visit groundfloortheater.org/box. And I'll tell you, because Hamlet is such a light and funny show.
It's hilarious.
I wanted to go out with something from Spamalot.
Okay.
Which was those that... Not Spamalot, sorry. Something Rotten.
Okay. Similar vein.
Similar vein. But those of you that know the story, I forgot who's the protagonist, but he mixes up Shakespeare's Hamlet with Omelette. And this is called Make an Omelette. We'll be right back.
You make wine from sour grapes. You got a flat pancake. Hey, call it a crepe. When life gives you eggs, make an omelette. You get cola from a nut. A dirty worm makes silk from out of his butt. When life gives you eggs,
make an omelette.
I try.
well, I have a culinary degree, and we had to make a French omelet.
Whoa!
The egg could not be burned in any way. It had to be pure yellow. It was really, really very difficult.
Lisa, what can't you do?
Oh, there's nothing I can't do. There's lots I can't do. So, Trace, thank you so much. We have just about a minute. People don't know who you are. Do you want to give people a little idea of of who is Trace Turner?
Yeah, I am a director and playwright and occasional actor, originally from Austin, Texas, proudly.
Heard of that place.
Yeah, it's been in the news a couple times. but yeah, you know, I'm a local artist and just... Well, out wonderful. Here trying to do my work.
Great. Well, you and I just met a few months ago, and yes. I just every time I see you, I just have a wonderful connection. So I'm looking forward to continuing on, and hopefully you'll come on and co-host for us again.
I would love to, Lisa.
Nicole likes to jet set around, so
she's a busy girl.
She is a busy girl. She's still in New York. She's got lists of things that she is going to see, and she told me what she was going to see, and I cannot remember. But
was it Here Lies Love? Because that's something I want to see.
I saw Here Lies Love.
Oh, did you really?
Well, you knew that because you listened to this show every week.
Yes, of course.
No, I went and saw it off Broadway at the Public, and it was amazing.
Oh, yes.
And I did say, we tried very hard after it closed. I wrote...
David Byrne?
David Byrne, like, every day for a week to try to get the rights to do it at Ground Floor Theater.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
But I either said, I told Patty Neftiffen, who was with me, I said, we're either doing this show or I'm stealing this idea because it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it looks great. And the new Broadway Theater, like, redesign looks incredible. Yeah.
By the way, they're doing that with Cabaret. We didn't talk about it, but they're turning the theater into the Kit Kat Club.
Yeah, that's what they did in the West End. And apparently, it was very intimate, which is so exciting.
Okay, great. Well, we're plumb out of time. Coming up next is Austin Cooperative Hour, which, as you know, is three shows. This week, we have our good friend Robert Sims and Lights, Camera, Austin. So we're very happy to have him here sitting in the studio. He just gave me the thumbs up, which is always a good sign. We're going to be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And I think y'all will like this. This is from The Little Mermaid, but this time in Hebrew. This is Kiss the Girl. We'll see you next week. Yareach mi maron, ze chayav likrot ayom.